Does this sound familiar? I'm basically a good person. Well, you know, I believe in karma. If I do enough good, my good will outweigh the bad. I believe God will accept me because of the good things I do. All these statements are sentiments of various individuals that I have personally encountered. And there is a common fault in each of their statements. In each of the statements, the person who said them is trying to justify himself. And how is he doing that? He's doing that by his own good works that he has done in his life. None of these individuals has acknowledged that he has no goodness apart from Christ. If he was to stand before God and give a reason as to why he should be allowed into heaven, his personal karma and good works would only give God a reason not to allow him into heaven. Don't get me wrong. He has been well-meaning and sincere in his pursuits. And although he means well, he is not righteous apart from Jesus. And even though he is sincere, he is still wrong in his approach to eternity. His approach doesn't meet up to God's standards. And as such, he will still not go to heaven by being basically good. In fact, good karma is a lie that has deceived many and dragged many to hell. My friends, we are not good enough apart from the righteousness of God. Today we're going to be in John 3. And in John 3, we read of this man, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. And as he came to Jesus, we read in verse 1 and 2 of John 3, that he was a good man, in a way. So let's read those verses. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Who was he? He was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. But he came, in verse 2 it says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, or so it seems, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He came secretly to Jesus by night to talk with Jesus about why Jesus had come. Now, near the end of their discussion together, Jesus concludes his answer to Nicodemus by talking particularly about why he came as the light of the world. So today, we are going to explore, if we flip further into John 3, from John 3, 19 to 21, why Jesus came as the light of the world. So let's read John 3, 16 to 21 together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So we see the first reason why Jesus came as the light of the world is to expose men's works as evil. Have you ever turned on a light in the middle of the night only to find some pests there, not expecting the light to be shined on them? And as the light shines on them, what happens? They scatter and they seek to find a dark corner to hide so that they will not be squashed or eliminated by the one who has turned the light on them. Christ is the light of men. And that means that the light of his righteousness will shine on men and will reveal evil. He will expose their evil. There will be a time when all evil will be exposed, when the light of Christ will come on that evil to show it as being evil. Now, that could happen during a person's time on earth or at the final judgment and eternity. And no matter when it happens, it will be Christ's righteousness that will bring to light that evil. Christ is the light of the world, not only to bring salvation and hope, which we talk about a lot, but also to bring justice through judgment of righteousness. And if we were to read earlier in verse 18, we know that that Christ himself took the place, in verse 16, of those who would believe in him, taking the punishment that they rightly deserved, so that they would not be condemned to eternal punishment. Christ came and sacrificed his life for those who would believe in order that they can be released from the judgment of their sin. Now, if we were to go back to Romans 6:23, we'd read, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Yes, Jesus exposes sin, but he also forgives and atones so that eternal judgment of death will not be brought on those who believe that Christ's sacrifice is enough for their redemption from sin. Now, more on this later. Evil men have a tendency to hate or flee from the light. So let's read again in verse 19 and 20. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." It is the rebellious nature of mankind that causes hatred towards Christ and his exposure of evil. The person that continues in the darkness of his sin is in direct rebellion to the eternal King of glory. And the rebel's heart refuses to submit to the exposure of his sin through the light of Christ's righteous life. If we were to compare Christ's life with the depraved human life, the contrast of righteousness and unrighteousness is immediately evident. Perfect sinlessness, which was Christ, and utter sinfulness contrast Christ with all of humanity. Jesus Christ was not just a good prophet or a good man. He is the righteous King of the and God of the universe. And as such, he cannot sin, and he has not sinned, and he will not sin. He cannot lie, steal, cheat, or lust sinfully. He is perfect and without sin, unlike any other prophet that has come. He is perfect and without sin, and in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read that for us, he, that's God, made Christ to be sin for us, so the perfect one became sin who knew no sin, so that in him, that's Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. Christ was perfectly righteous, without sin, yet he chose to take our sin on himself so that we could be justified by God. And so that we are viewed at salvation and through eternity as righteous because we as believers are covered by the redeeming blood of Jesus if we have believed in Christ. However, those who choose to reject this justification and sacrifice of Christ are in darkness. They are exposed as evil. They like the darkness rather than the light. They are rebels and enemies, and they refuse to believe that his sacrifice, that Christ's sacrifice that I just talked about, is enough. And in one passage in the Bible, it says they are of their father, the devil. They would rather choose to believe the lies of the prince of the darkness. Sadly, the dreadful choice of their own free will drag them to eternal punishment because they refuse to come to Jesus and believe that he is the light of the world, come to save them from the darkness. But they are accustomed to the darkness. They don't want relief from it. You talk to these people of repentance and forgiveness, and they scoff at it. They mock you. You know, maybe perhaps not at their first hearing, because they're trying to be tolerant. But it seems that their hearts are quickly hardened because of self-reliance. They don't want to hear that they're not good enough. So when they hear of Christ and his love, which you would think they would want to run towards him, no, they run from the light or fight it because it is foreign to them and it exposes their sin and their destruction all the more because they are not coming to the light. Yes, they hate the light. They hate Christ and anyone or anything that would expose their wickedness. And their hate is fueled by the rage of the pits of hell. But we know from earlier in John 1, verse 5, that the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of Christ will never be overcome by the hateful darkness of this world. You know, one question I keep hearing over and over is this. You probably maybe even said it or thought it or heard it. Why are young people leaving the church? I have also heard this follow-up question. What can be done to keep them from leaving the church? And it is my belief that this passage actually has a legitimate answer to these questions. They are leaving because they are not of the light. It's sobering. Which means we may not have done our best to present the clear gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And or they have rejected the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are running from the light in rebellion to God. They have chosen their own way like the sheep in Isaiah 53 verse 6. It is the God-given responsibility of us as Christian parents. And I say us, this is for me as well. To keep Christ and the light of his word at the forefront of our homes. This means bringing our children up to hear the preaching and teaching of the word in church. Bringing them to church. Don't let them have an excuse of why not to come to church. Don't take their excuses. Come anyways. It also means sharing the word with them in the home, though. Having a daily time with the family of prayer and Bible reading. And you know what? We have a biblical precedent for that. We find it in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, 6 to 9 says, "All these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." Don't let the teachers in the school teach your children. You need to teach your children about the light of Christ and his word. "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. At all times be talking about Christ and his word, that he is the light that has come in this darkness. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The children that are in your house that you are responsible for must hear and know that Christ is most important, that his word is primarily a priority in your life. If they don't know that, that is sad. It's time for us as parents to wake up and to realize we need to be sharing the word over and over and over again with our children so that they can see the light of Christ, so that they will not turn from Christ. The light of the word of God must be at the center of our homes. We know that it is only in rejection to the light of Christ in their rebellious lives that these young people will go away then. If we've done our job, then they are accountable to God for them, their decision. However, when they do go away, we must all pray. Can I say that again? We must all pray consistently and passionately that Christ would be gracious enough to shine his light into their lives so that they would recall what they have heard and come to repentance. Are we praying that for these children, for these young people? I hope so. The light of Christ will do one of two things: expose the evil, and the unrighteous will flee from the presence of the light of the righteousness of Christ the King. Or it will reveal to a person their need for Christ, and they will run to the light of Christ and be saved by Christ's righteous sacrifice through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives. John Piper says it better than me. He says, "The coming of Jesus into the world clarifies that unbelief is our fault, and belief is a gift of God. Which means if we do not come to Christ, but eternally perish, we magnify God's justice in our damnation. But if we do come to Christ and have eternal life, we magnify God's grace in our salvation." In verse 21, we read of Christ revealing the works done in God by the light. Let's read verse 21 together. It says, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen, so that it's revealed, that his works have been carried out in God." The second reason why Christ came as the light of the world is to reveal that the Christian's righteous works are not their own, but they are done in God. When someone comes to faith in Jesus Christ, we say they have turned from darkness to light. And like Paul describes in Acts 26:18, there is something comforting about the light in a cold, dark night. And without it, there is no way to see. Without light, there would be no hope. Anyone who has been born into this world since Adam and Eve has been born into the darkness of sin, without God and without hope in this world. If you ask people about when they came to faith in Jesus, they often comment that it is like, before that I was blind. Or they say, my heart was strangely warmed. Before that moment, they will express that they didn't really understand or have any desire to follow after Jesus. They were not drawn to him. But suddenly, it all made sense. That Christ had come to save them from their sins. And it's like the light of Christ had opened their eyes and heart to the truth of the Word of God, and they had hope. But where does this light come from? It comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, spiritual blindness is suddenly gone and spiritual sight is given. Their sin was great, but the work of Christ to save them was even greater. His light has shone into their lives and set them free. And now they just want to be in the light of Christ forever. Yes, there is nothing else that is desired more in the life of a believer. We as believers understand that we were blind without the light of Jesus in our lives. And the Holy Spirit of God in Christ has made us new, no longer in darkness, but rather drawn to follow only the light of Christ. Is that true in your life? Do you delight and find comfort? Are you drawn to the light of Jesus? Do you believe the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel? Do you believe the glorious truth that Jesus is your light and life? If not, keep listening. If yes, then if it's a resounding yes, praise the Lord for his mercy and grace to you. Praise the Lord that he has shone his light in your life. The true believer understands really that his works that we do after salvation are done in Christ. Yes, the light of Christ doesn't stop shining once a person comes to Christ. In fact, the light of Christ begins to shine brighter as the Christian begins to live out his life as a reflection of Christ. Brighter and brighter the light shines as Christ gains greater control in our lives. It is not by works of righteousness of our own that we are justified by God. Christ working in us through the Holy Spirit starts to light a fire in our soul, to shine into the dark night around us. Any work that we do after our salvation is only by the grace of God. It is God, through the Holy Spirit, that changes our lives to be more and more like Jesus. Remember, the Holy Spirit is Christ in us. Without Christ, our righteousness is unrighteousness. But with the Holy Spirit, our righteous works are the righteousness of Christ being worked out in us. The Christian doesn't suddenly become a super perfect person. But when he does what is right before God, it is accounted as a work of Christ in him. And there is a difference. John 15 verse 5 reminds us that without him, that's Christ, we can do nothing. He is the light that has come to show us his righteous way. Christ made it possible for us to do good works in God. Don't believe the lie that tells you that people are basically good. In reality, they are totally depraved and have absolutely no ability to do good apart from Christ's guidance in the Holy Spirit. Without Christ, there is no true righteousness, and there is no way to express the light in and of ourselves. We need the light of Christ turned on us and turned on in us so that we can reflect to the darkness the light of Christ. It's like the chorus of the old hymn that says, "Come to light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweet, the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus." In conclusion, I want us to consider what we can clearly see in society today. No longer is evil called evil. Rather, it is celebrated, and if you speak against evil, you are hated and spoken evil of. It sounds like this passage we just read. Western nations have fallen prey to the seduction of evil. And even though at one time Canada, the United States, and Britain were predominantly governed by Judeo-Christian values, that is no longer the case. Why is there not an awakening going on? Where are the multitudes flocking to hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Here's the next question. Is the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ being hidden under a basket, like Matthew says, like under a bushel? Perhaps sin is not being exposed and Christ's righteousness in the Christian life is not being revealed because we as believers are not rightly and brightly reflecting Christ's light in our homes and communities as we must. We are to be mirrors of Christ's righteousness to the world. But are we being lights that refuse to be hidden like cities on a hill? We must stand out as those who have the light, that are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means not just living our faith, but also sharing it. And these people that say, just live it and people will know. No, you need to share the truth of the word for people to be saved. They need to hear the gospel and be saved. It seems we have allowed the fear of man to control us. We must stop acting like we are ashamed of the truth that can set prisoners free, can set sinners free. We must not be obscuring the light from their vision. Just because they might not like what they hear. We ought to obey God rather than men. He says to share the light. We must turn on the floodlights of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to be the light in the hopelessness that seems to hedge us in today. He came to be the light in the darkness and to be the way to heaven and to be the truth that dispels the devil's lies. There is no other true light in this world, and we are sent to bear witness of that light so that they too may believe in Jesus. Do you remember the warmth of coming to Christ? Maybe we need to remember that anew. The light that shined in your life. They need to be brought from darkness to light. The world needs to see the light that can dispel their darkness. They need to hear the truth of the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we, as Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, we must tell them. Yes. Yes, I hear you. The laborers are few. But let's be some of the few who are laboring to share the light of Christ. They need Jesus. So we must go and tell them. Why did Jesus come as the light of the world? He came as the light of the world to illuminate the works of men, exposing their evil, but also to reveal the righteous works of the believer that is done in God.